We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what's called the 13th chapter, the first pasuk. Bein chacham musarav vilit lo shama geara. Bein chacham, smart son, musar av, lets his father rebuke him. He accepts what his father has to say, and then he can advance in life. Viletz, whereas a son that is a joker, lo shama gara. Now the word lo shama could mean doesn't hear. The word shma could mean to physically hear. The word lo shama could mean doesn't accept. So the simple reading here is he doesn't accept when he's yelled at. So the smart son, well, the father just guides him and he accepts it. Whereas the joker, even if you're yelling at him, it's overtly obvious that you're frustrated and you're trying to guide him to do what's right. He doesn't hear that. He doesn't accept that either. So very often people think that the child is the product of the parent. Well, to some degree, but the child also has their own free will. And the parent can try their hardest and the child won't necessarily listen. Ben Chacham, if you see a smart son, Musarav, then you know that his father guided him correctly. That's something which we often see. A lot of the habits people have and a lot of the understandings people have, they get at home. It's not exclusionary, but it's definitely common. Very often, children will have a lot of knowledge based on the home. Where do we encounter this a lot? Kids who are homeschooled. I'm not a fan of homeschooling. I see a lot of shortcomings in homeschooling. But very often you see people who have a lot of knowledge coming out of homes where they're homeschooled, where the parents really keep teaching them right from wrong and educating them and keeping them in the know. And that's the advantage of homeschooling. The disadvantage is we have to discuss at different times. So, Bein Chacham, a wise son, Musarav, he's been guided properly by his father. Sorry. It's interesting, the comparison between smart and the one who's a joker. Very often people don't get very far because they're too busy being jokers, making fun, being sarcastic, pointing out what's wrong. The word letz in Tanakh is not a positive word. We have different words for different types of humor. Letz is one that wants to mock. And that's not positive. Today it's very hard to draw the line because much of our humor is based on cynicism and sarcasm. So there's an overwhelming feeling that nothing good is going to come of all this. All the politicians are out to get us. The system is decrepit. There's an overwhelming feeling that each person has to fight for himself. And part of the way in which a person can survive is by mocking the system and mocking people in the system. So in Tanakh, we don't view that as positive. Few famous stories. One of the rabbis who lived about a century ago was once up late learning Torah, and then he got up early in Davin Vasikin, and then he went back to sleep to catch up on some Shaddai. And when he finally woke up, must have been like 11:30 in the morning, and his father started yelling at him, telling him, "What are you sleeping late for? What kind of bum are you? If you want to succeed in life, you have to get up on time. If you want to succeed in life, you have to take life seriously." And he's giving him over the head. And the kid listens. And then the father leaves. And a few minutes later, his brother comes into the room and says, "Why didn't you tell Dad you were working really hard?" and you did get up on time, in spite of the fact that you were up late, and you're only catching up on some sleep. So the son who was yelled at said to his brother, he said, look, Dad is a pious person. Even though I didn't deserve to be yelled at now for this specific instance, listening to him rebuke me helps me remember what I'm supposed to do in life. So it's true, I could have told him, hey, I'm clean, I didn't do that. I got up early, I did what I was supposed to do. That's true. But there's still value in hearing what he has to say. One of the hallmarks of a person who's smart is that he doesn't run away from rebuke. On the contrary, he stands and listens and realizes he can benefit from it. And yet, the Talmud says, in the days of the Mishnah already, the rabbis testified about themselves that they weren't smart enough for this. They weren't on a high enough level for this. So we'll see a verse in Proverbs says, you should love someone who rebukes you. And the rabbis of the Mishnah said, they're not on that level anymore. They can't say they love a person when he rebukes them. It could be they'll grind their teeth and listen and try to benefit from it. But to love the person, to be on that level where you could be so honest that you realize they have my best at heart, and I love them for the fact that they're telling me something I should really hear, that's a level which the rabbis of the Talmud already said we're not there. Yes?
If there is a rabbi who is greater than the rabbis in the Talmud, and there is another guy rebuking the first rabbi, it's not to harm the first rabbi. I don't know how it is then, but I know a lot of the cases now is, a lot of the time you aren't rebuked because they're trying to better you, they're angry.
Right? That's not what we're talking about. It says, and it says in the Talmud that too, it says you have to love a person in order to rebuke him. You have to be on a level to rebuke a person. We'll see it in Proverbs. Shlomo Amel is going to say, a revealed rebuke is good when it stems from hidden love. When deep down inside, even in the parts of you that are hidden, you love the person. Yeah, that's true. It's a very good point. Yeah. It's one of the reasons we have a hard time accepting it. We'll discuss that. We're just starting. Mipiri fi ish yochal tov. Venefesh bogedim. Hamas, miperi fi ish, from the fruits of man's mouth, from the fruits of what one can say, yochal tov, he will benefit, he will have good. Simple reading of the verse, if you know how to talk well, you can succeed in life. The ability to express yourself well will very often be the key to opening many doors in your life. Mipiri fi ish, the fruits of man's mouth, the capacity to express oneself, yochal tov, he will eat well. Venevesh bogedim chamas, and the soul of those who are traitors, ultimately they themselves get plundered. So again, the simple reading here is that a person's speech is going to have a large impact on their life. The word nefesh could also mean the desire. The desire of bogdim, of traitors, is chamas, to destroy, to plunder other people. But our sages gave us a deeper understanding here. So again, the simple reading is, you know how to speak well, you'll benefit from it. You try to be a traitor, and that's what you're looking for in life. Ultimately, it comes back to haunt a person. And that's a recurring theme in Mishlei as well. Chazal say that the Pasuk is speaking about Torah. Mipri fi ish, the fruit of what you speak, the Torah you learn in this world, yochal tov, even in this world, things go well for a person if he learns Torah. The Torah is supposed to be our guiding light, even in the mundane. You learn Torah, you're supposed to become a better person. Let's take a simple example. Your business practices should be more honest. Your relationship with your spouse should be more giving, more considerate. Your skills as a parent should be more attuned. Your reactions shouldn't stem from your whim or your anger. So there are basic fruits of Torah that benefit a person in this world. But those are the fruits. They're not the principle. The main value of Torah is not even that. Those are just benefits. Those are side benefits. Those are fruits. Those are profits. But the main principle of benefit of Torah is what's waiting for him in the world to come. That's why our sages understood the pasuk mipiri, the fruits of pi ish, the speech, the talking, the learning that man learns, yochal tov, he benefits in this world. V'nefesh bogedim, the desire, the true desire of those who turn on Torah is chamas, to plunder others. Because very often when people turn on Torah, they have all kinds of excuses.
What do you mean?
There are people who learn Torah and then they speak badly of it. They're from within and then they're bogdim, they're traitors to the Torah they've learned. So very often they have all kinds of claims. I'm really looking to help society. I'm really only looking for what's right. All kinds of claims. Shlomo Amelch says, but you should know what's really behind it all. Notzer piv shomer nafshoho. He who's careful with his mouth, notzer piv, he who watches his mouth, shomer nafsho, is also watching his soul. Posek sifatav mechita lo. And he who allows his lips to always be open, to speak at will, mechita lo, ultimately he is his own destruction. One of the sources of many people's downfall in life are things they actually say. Our sages say, look at how many shields, how many guards you were granted. Between your mouth and the speech, there's the teeth and the palate and the lips. All these different tools to protect what we say. And if a person just opens it, posek, he opens his lips and lets himself talk, mechita lo, ultimately that is his own destruction. And this is I don't know if we could stress this enough in people's workplace and in interpersonal relations. How do you do this? I'll tell you, I use a certain tool in my own life. I try to set times in my life when I don't talk. When I was in yeshiva, it was easier. If a person decides I'm, let's say, on Mondays. I'm always going to be careful on Mondays not to say Lashon Hara, not to say anything unnecessary, not to speak without thinking about what I'm about to say. Try taking a period like that in your life, taking a day a week, let's say. On Mondays, I'm not going to speak without thinking about what I'm saying. Suddenly you'll realize that there are things that we say that maybe we shouldn't be saying. Maybe there are things that we say that we could say nicer. You take one day a week to work on it. You'll see in your conversations with your parents, with your siblings, with your roommates, with your chavruta, if we're only careful about what we say, then our speech comes out different. There was a phenomenal Rav of the South, Rav Ha'etan, Rav Yitzchak Meir Ha'etan Zatzal. Throughout the month of Elul, he wouldn't talk anything that was unnecessary. He would do Tanit Dibu. He would take upon himself not to speak anything that was not a mitzvah, that was not necessary for a mitzvah. A full month. Can you guys imagine that? 30 days. Okay, takes a special wife for that, takes special family, takes a special person to do that, right? But we can try to challenge ourselves to take periods of time and see. That helps us realize what our speech is like throughout the year. Pasuk Dalet. Mitava va'ain nafsho atzel. Mitava, one who has desire. Va'ain, and he doesn't attain any of it. Nafsho atzel. That's because his soul is lazy. V'nefesh charutzim tidushan. And the soul of those who are diligent are satiated. This pasuk seems like an amulet, but I challenge you. Take the book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, they have in their series, Chicken Soup for the Soul on Achieving Your Dreams. And in the beginning of the book, they describe how many people have achieved their dreams using the same method. Stop. Ask yourself, where do I want to get to? Envision that place. Dream about that place. Think about how to get there. And you'll slowly find yourself advancing there. You ask the average person, a person says, I want to be skinny. Do you really want to be skinny? Have you thought about it? Do you dream about it? Do you keep envisioning how am I going to get there? If you really place your focus on getting somewhere, then you'll advance in that direction. They give examples from their own experience. And I could tell you, this is not a Jewish book, but I've lent it to people, and they've all walked away saying, hey, this really works. One of the reasons that we don't advance towards our dreams is because we're lazy. We don't take the necessary steps. I have a very good friend. He's older than me. He's got kids my age, but he's a very kind man. So at one point I wanted to learn Kuzari. I was in the United States where Kuzari is a foreign word. No one knows what I'm talking about. So I was looking for someone to learn it with, and he agreed to learn it with me, even though, again, he's old enough to be my father. We set up a chavrusa, and we'd learn Kuzari every morning. So he once told me, he said, why don't you buy yourself a building? I said, me buy a building? He said, you need income. You want to continue learning Torah? Go buy a building. You'll have rent. You'll have income. Eventually, it'll go up in value. You'll have more. He said, what do you mean? He said, you know what a building is? Go buy a building. I said, I don't have capital. He said, you don't have capital, but you have friends, you have family, you have people you know. Put it together and buy a building. I said, where are you coming from? He looks at me and says, I did it. I said, how'd you do it? He said, "I just like I'm telling you, I told my friends, why don't we each buy a building? We'll have income. And my friend said, yeah, you go buy a building. So I did. I went to my mother and my father and my grandparents and my uncles and my aunts and every person I knew. And I said, do you mind giving me a long-term loan? I put together the different loans. I got a bank loan. I put it all together. I bought a building in the Bronx. Started collecting the rent. Started paying back the people I owed. Yes, so I bought a building, and that's how I got started. I didn't know he owned buildings. But it started because he really wanted it. He decided that's what I want. And he started pursuing people and seeing how he could do it. I had an opportunity when the Lower East Side was still real cheap. This goes back 15, 16 years ago. Someone offered me to buy an apartment there. Everyone knew it was a good investment then. Everyone knew that within 5 years it would double because they were taking off rent control. I didn't follow through. And I called a relative of mine and he said, yeah, I think I could put together a loan. And he sounded hesitant, and I didn't follow through. Later on, I heard he was giving strangers loans. He lent over $1 million to other people. I didn't even need a tenth of that. I could have taken the loan from him. I could have bought the apartment. I would have made $250,000. But if you really want something, you think about it, and you find ways to pursue it. If it's just like, yeah, that's a nice idea, I'd like to do it. So then it remains a nice idea, I'd like to do it, and you don't do it. And we have opportunities like this in life. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Mitavav ayin." You desire something, but you don't find it, then nafsho atzel. The reason is because the person's lazy. V'nefesh chautzim tedushan. People who are swift, who are diligent, they follow through, ultimately they get what they want. It's a big rule in life. Bezrat Hashem, I will again post the story of Van Vu. You guys know the story of Van Vu? So I'll post it. A phenomenal story about a man from southern Vietnam who was successful in southern Vietnam, and the government took it from him, and then he was successful a second time, and then they took it from him a second time, and then he had no choice, and he decided he's making a run for it to the United States, and then they put him in prison, and finally the day came when he was able to get out, and he came to the United States, and he didn't have a penny. He and his wife, they had nothing but the shirt on their back, and they went to a relative of theirs who was a baker, and they asked him if they could work for him and sleep in his shop. And that's where they slept, you know, from the sink in the shop. That's where they washed themselves off. And to make a long story short, he became a millionaire. He ended up buying that bakery. So the story of how he became a millionaire is a very worthwhile story. And that, Bezat Shem, I will post on the bulletin board. Van Vu. Phenomenal story. A guy from southern Vietnam, but it teaches us a lesson. And again, the starting point is, did he really want it? If you really want something, you think about it, you get diligent about it, and then you make it happen. Okay. We'll pick up here, Bezat Shem.